We've been talking about the heart already today. Talking about the issues of the heart and talking about allowing God to have His perfect way in our heart and recognizing that as He has His way in our heart, as He gets down into the nitty-gritty of what goes on in our thoughts and what goes on in our understanding, that out of that place, we can actually find a place of shift and a place to honor Him. And as we begin to honor Him, we also find that we're released from the burdens and the responsibilities of trying to bear it up under these things all by ourselves. Now, that was a whole lot in one word, in one continuous sentence. I'm just setting an atmosphere and a tone for what he wants to show. Because here in 2 Corinthians 3, and let's go to verse 12. Having therefore such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. And are not as Moses, who used to put a veil over his face that the sons of Israel might not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, they say, whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. See, whenever we truly decide to get serious about Jesus, when we truly decide to repent and change, when we decide to embrace who God really is, then the veil is taken away. The Jews could not recognize who God really was. Many of them had a vested interest in not recognizing. The Pharisees had a vested interest in keeping the system the way it was. And they received their honor and their glory because the system was the way it was, because everybody had to come to them to interface with God. So therefore, they didn't want to recognize who God really was. But I'm wanting to encourage you that when a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. It doesn't matter whatever's gone before. When you turn and you just say, oh Lord, I want to embrace who you really are, the veil is lifted. So I wanted to just mold these things with a couple other things. Let's go and just read the text out of Ephesians 3 now. And we'll jump down to verse 16 right there. See, these are times of preparation that God is doing in us. There's times of preparation. One of the things that we've been talking about here is the eyewitness, because God is going to release an eyewitness because He wants to change a generation. But see, in order for Him to release that eyewitness that changes a generation, we also have to be prepared to operate in the love of God. We have to be prepared to operate in this love that comes out of His heart and out of His design, because only in that love can we truly represent who He is. Only in that love can we become the witness to the generation. See, it's in that place of embracing this love that God has, embracing His purpose, that we can begin to represent correctly who God is. Ephesians 3 and verse 16 says this, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. There's a place. If you're going to be rooted and grounded, it better be in love. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. To know the immensity of this love of God. And to know, verse 19, the love of God which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. That Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is speaking about an agape love. See, it's speaking about agape love because when we begin to walk in the fullness of an agape love, when we begin to walk in the fullness of an agape love, we come into the maturity that is available to us in Christ. We come into a maturity of what God has given us. And I know that that may sound simplistic, but the reality is it's the maturity of love that marks us as Christian. That it marks us and makes us different. But it's because we operate and we walk in a grace. But not only do we operate and walk in grace, but the love is supposed to be the signal that other people can see. What I'm looking for is to create in you a hunger to become one of those Christians that has such a surpassing love. A love that is surpassing all knowledge. A love that is surpassing your expectation. Because in that expectation and in that surpassing, when we become unmanageable to the enemy. We become unmanageable to the enemy. Because see, when we have a surpassing love in us, when we know the fullness of God, when we experience the fullness of God, now no longer do we have need of all the other things that we've had need of before. We no longer have need of our defense system. Because whatever defense system that we wear, we can begin to operate in the love of God. We no longer have a need of the desire for control and manipulation. Because see, we can leave it over to the love of God. We no longer have to worry about our provision because we know it's covered in the love of God. We no longer have to worry about what the plan of the future is because we know in this moment and the next moment and the rest of our life is covered in the love of God. Because when those things begin to occur to us, when that begins to be manifest in us, that suddenly that surpassing glory and grace of God, that surpassing knowledge of this love that He has, those things are the things that begin to control our thought. Now when He asks us to do something for Him, it becomes an automatic response. Because see, the thing that predominates our heart is the love of God. When we walk in that kind of a love, when we walk in that truly selfless agape love, suddenly our reactions are different. Our ordination, our purpose is different. Hallelujah. It's no longer about us. I know that might be a revelation, but it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. For some of us, that was a bigger revelation than others, but hallelujah. One of the things He began to show me is that the foundation to operate in this kind of love is relationship. Relationship with Him has to be the foundation. He told me that when love is moving through relation, it's an immutable force. It's a force that cannot be changed. It cannot be redirected. It will always, it's a constant and will always be there working on your behalf. Hallelujah. So with that being said, there's one more part of the foundation that I want to set for what we're going to talk about here. I want to ask you, of all the things that you can think of, what was Satan's greatest victory? You know, you start thinking of World War II, you start thinking of the annihilation of the Jews or whatever else, you know, other things that have happened along history. But his greatest victory was the separation he created between us and God. When he was successfully able to separate Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, when he was able to separate them from the very presence of God, that was his greatest victory. Because every other sin, every other issue that has ever happened in our life stems from that very one. Well, the good news is when we understand the fullness of the love of God, it repairs that issue. He is the repairer of the breach. Isaiah 58 says that he repairs the breach. He restores the age-old foundation. Well, this is the primary age-old foundation that he's restoring is the relationship that we can have with the Father. Because when he was restoring that foundation, now there's a fullness that comes into our life. Now we're no longer subject to every whim of the enemy. We're no longer subject to every thought that comes along because now we can begin to see truth because we understand truth. We're not deceived by the lies because we now can acknowledge and understand what truth is. When we understand the truth of who He is, when we understand the truth of this agape love that He has for us, then it gives us the ability to share that agape with someone else. When a man turns to the Lord, the veils are taken away. See, what He wants to do is bring us into a place of continuous fellowship. Because see, in that place of relationship, He can begin to reveal His love to us. It says, continuous fellowship is possible. It takes practice and awareness of your thoughts for this to happen. Be patient. That was for me specifically. Because I want it like yesterday. I have this thing that, you know, when I get involved in a project, when I get in a project mode, then whatever that is, it's all consuming for that moment. Well, that's a good thing because it gets projects done. But it's also something that makes it harder for me to stay focused on the thing that's most important, because I need to make sure that he's always most important in every situation. So he's telling me, be patient. You can place your trust in me. I am not here to condemn you. I'm here to lead you. Know that you are my concern. I am not dictated to by the emotions or the motives that produce the behavior of men. I'm not dictated by the emotions or motives that produce the behavior of men. See, when you know perfect love, you're no longer dictated to. He is perfect love. When he operates in perfect love, he has no need of operating in control or manipulation. He has no need of operating in fear or intimidation. He doesn't have a need for any of those things. And when your heart is in that place of perfect love, then all those things begin to fall off. The will of the Father and his love motivate me. You are the recipient of his love. You, HRC, you're the recipient of his love. You, HRC, you're the recipient of his love. The atmosphere of love is an atmosphere of safety. The one who is immersed in my love becomes unmanageable to the enemy. Unmanageable to the enemy. Perfect love will remove all the handles the enemy was able to use. Without fear, he cannot threaten you. See, without the specter of fear behind, the enemy can't threaten you. When you see through the deception, he can't threaten you. Without selfishness, he can't motivate you. Greed goes right out the window. When we're no longer motivated by selfishness, but when we're motivated by a selflessness, suddenly agape is right there in the picture. Without removing fellowship, he cannot deceive you. The place of greatest safety in all the world is right there in front of the Father's mouth. Right there with your head leaning on his breast and your ear turned to his mouth. It's the safest place you can ever be. Because see, in that place, there's a sanctuary that's afforded to you. There's a sanctuary that's given to you that will begin to shelter you. Because in that moment, as you stay there, then he can begin to unravel every deception and deceit of the enemy. And as he unravels the deceptions and the deceits of the enemy, as he begins to speak and release his truth into your heart, suddenly, you find safety. Suddenly, you find sanctuary. Suddenly, you recognize that separation is no longer there. The veil was taken away. The veil was taken away. When a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When a man turns and begins to lean his or her head upon the breast of Jesus and begins to allow the voice of Jesus to speak into their life, every condition, every situation, every circumstance around it has to bow its knee. Your health has to bow its knee. Anything that the enemy is using to attack your body has to now bow its knee, because the name of Jesus is coming and being exalted in your body. Your circumstance, your finance now have to bow their knee, because now the name of Jesus is being exalted. The voice of Jesus is being heard and received in your heart, and your heart is being prepared to be a fertile ground. Your emotions begin to change, because now your emotions can begin to align up with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in that place, because his voice is upon your heart. Because then as he releases his voice, then all of the deceptions that the enemy was using to keep you in that rotten place are no longer heeded. They're no longer heeded. Love is perfected by exposure to the one who loves you. Love is perfected by the exposure to the one who loves you. We're saying the same thing as what this says down here in 2 Corinthians 3. I'll turn back there for a second. Verse 17 says, now where the Spirit, the word of the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is the Lord, the Spirit. This is the Lord, the Spirit. See, exposure. Love is perfected by exposure to the one who loves you. Love is perfected by exposure to the one who loves you. See, this exposure will demonstrate truth and expose the lies. Perfect love will release the fullness that removes selfishness. For each will see that there is more than enough in the Father. See, when we understand that there's more than enough of God's love to go around, suddenly we're not in competition with our neighbor. When you go to an all-you-can-eat buffet, all right? When you belly up to the table and you eat all that you can eat, and you get all the steak and all the potatoes and everything else that you can enjoy, or the broccoli or carrots, whatever it is, your choice. Hallelujah. When you get all that you can eat, and you've had more than enough, because this is America, we have more than enough, and you walk out, and you look at somebody who's now grabbing a hold of a piece of steak, are you in the least bit jealous? Are you in the least bit intimidated? Do you even care that he's grabbing a hold of his own piece of steak? No. And so it is with the love of God. See, in the love of God, we can have all that you want. Belly yourself right up to that table and get all that you want. Get all that you want. Get all that you want. Because see, that's the way the love of God is. There's more than enough. We don't have to be jealous of somebody else's blessings because there's more than enough. We don't have to be jealous of somebody else's anointing because there's more than enough. We don't have to be jealous of what someone else has because God's love is more than enough. Because He loves you and He's making it plain for you this day. This day He makes it plain for you. More than enough. He's made you more than a conqueror in this love. He's given you more than enough. True love is motivated for another. See, that's the issue of the heart. The issue of the heart is revealed right there. It's motivated for another. When we allow Him to do something in our lives, when we allow Him to do something in our lives to minister to another, just simply because we chose to give Him that place. Recognizing that we're doing it not for ourselves, we're not doing it for recognition. There's no need for recognition because our recognition comes out of this abundance of love. But we can do this because of the abundance of what He puts in us. Kathy, can you come and just share just a short version of Clarence? Amen. So just share about Clarence.
So when I was doing the street ministry before I came to HRC, there was a man, Clarence, on the street who had schizophrenia. And Clarence, he was okay as long as he took his medicine. If not, then he was pretty angry. And but anyway, he called me one day, and we were getting ready to go out on the street and minister, me and this young kid, Daniel, who also went out on the streets with me. And Clarence had called saying that he had came to be in the hospital and he had a staph infection, and would I go see him? And he didn't have any family to go and see him. So, but when he called me, I actually didn't really want to go. because I wanted to go and do street ministry. That's where my heart was. And so actually, to just be honest, I was going to do like a checklist to just go see him because I knew it was the right thing to do and he didn't have anybody to go see him. But my heart wasn't really to go minister to Clarence. So when me and Daniel went to the hospital, we walked into the hospital room. And so I'm thinking, okay, we're going to say this anointed prayer and then we're going to get out really quick and then go do what I really wanted to go do. And then I would, do my little checklist. And so I get in the room and I'm like, hey, Clarence, good to see you. You know, you're looking good. Is there anything that I can do for you? And I wasn't expecting him to say yes. And so he was like, well, you know, by the way, I haven't been able to take a bath in 3 days because of the staph infection on my arm. And, I'd like somebody to comb my hair. And he had long hair down to about like here. And it was real thin and it was like just matted and it was really nasty. Like, and he stunk. I mean, it just stunk and I didn't want to do it. And so I was like, oh, well, I think I can get the nurse to do that for you. I'm sure we can get somebody. Let me go to the nurse's station and ask, but cause I did not want to comb his hair. And so, I go to the nurse's station and all the way to the nurse's station. I'm like, please don't let him have a comb. Please don't let him have a comb. Please don't let him have a comb. And so I was like, I asked the nurse, do y'all happen to have, any comb? No, huh? You know, answering the question already. And, she was like, no, I don't think so. He asked before. And I was like, oh, okay. And she's like, no, wait a minute. We have a travel size, in these travel kits. And it's these little black, you know, that little black comb with the prong. So it would have took forever because his hair was so matted. And I didn't want to touch it. And so I grabbed the comb, but the Holy Spirit began to convict me. And so as I was standing there with the comb, I'm like, okay, now what? I'm going to have to comb his hair. And so I go back in the room and, you know, a lot of times when you mentor people, they are watching your reaction, like this young kid, you know, he was watching, is she going to comb his hair in love? Because you could just, you know, you could smell it. And anyway, so I walked back in and so I was like, I guess I have to comb his hair. And I was just like, not happy. And so, and you could see it all on my face. And so I began to comb it. And then as soon as my comb hit his hair, the anointing fell in the room and it was just like a holy hush, like came upon the room. And then I heard the Holy Spirit say, thank you for combing my hair today. And then as soon as I heard it, I felt convicted in my heart because, I didn't want to comb his hair. I didn't look at it that I was combing Jesus's hair. And so, as I began to comb, the room was just, even Clarence had sensed it and he wasn't really aware of the things of the spirit, but like nobody spoke a word. And, I just was weeping silently. And then I looked at Clarence's face and he had the glory of the Lord on it and he's crying. And so I'm like, Clarence, like, why are you crying? And he said, well, you know, I only ever had my mama and my mom used to comb my hair. And I had prayed and said, Lord, I wish my mom was here or somebody could come and comb my hair like the way my mama used to. And then he sent me. And so that day, I mean, we never did go witnessing, but I just combed Jesus's hair. And I wouldn't have had that encounter with the Lord had I not, was obedient. You know, the Holy Spirit didn't beat me up for not wanting to comb his hair. He just said, thank you for combing my hair today. So, amen.
Amen. Amen. Is that precious or what? Is there anyone among us who can't comb someone's hair? Yeah, I know. I did it too. God is looking to extend his love through you to someone. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to do any big act, a supernatural thing. Just comb Jesus' hair. Just comb his hair. Just allow him to minister through you in whatever act it is that's within your capacity to be able to do. This is the nature of the love that God wants to place within us. And it's okay if you don't want to comb his hair up to start with. It's okay if you recognize that he's nasty and filthy. It's okay if you see those things, but follow through. I went on the streets and there was a guy there and he was living in a shopping cart. When I say living in a shopping cart, he was in the shopping cart with all his stuff. He obviously was a drinker and he obviously drank too much. And so he had thrown up all over himself and everything else. And the Lord says, I want you to hug him and lift him up out of that cart. Now, there's nothing in the natural that makes you want to do this. But, you know, when I began to hug him, the love of the Father just surrounded us, and it changed everything that was happening right there. The man found deliverance right then. And I didn't have any way of knowing, but the thing that he had never, ever had, the whole reason that he had all, that he was such an alcoholic and everything else, is because his father had never hugged him. And I was allowed him to move and to hug. These are things that we can do. We can all partake of the agape love and allow it to move through us. It requires a certain amount of surrender of our flesh. A certain amount of selflessness. But see, that's the thing that God can motivate us with. Because see, in that surrender, in that giving him that opportunity, you also find your blessing. You will find a greater encounter with God than you would have had doing the other thing. Because God will make sure that you see and understand his glory in the simplicity even of those acts. We can be the hands and feet. We can motivate one another. And it said the word in Hebrews says to stimulate one another to love. To stimulate one another to love. And sometimes that's a talking, but mostly it's going to be a doing. Sometimes it's just a being. In other words, being the Son of God. Being in your sonship. Being in the place of allowing love to saturate you to such an extent that the atmosphere around you begins to touch other people. This is what he's looking for. This is what he's looking for. When true love is motivated for another, when that true motivation comes forth, then there's a releasing of his anointing in your life. There's a releasing because it's not about being at a pulpit. It's not about being on a stage. It's not about any of those things. It's about allowing God's heart to be released in someone's life. So they can hear and know that God is alive. They can hear and know and see that God is real because he's touching them. My brother, one time he went to prison and they put him into this ward because there was a gentleman there who had was a homosexual and had been there and had AIDS and he was about to die. But because of his condition, no one would touch him. And the Lord just said, I want you to give him a hug. And he bent down there and he wrapped his arms around him and he just loved on him. And he said, for 8 months I've been in here and not a single soul has touched me because they were all afraid. You know what? It didn't hurt him a bit. He's still healthy. But love was extended. A love that changed that man's life because see, as a result of that hug, then he wanted to hear about this Jesus that would have caused him to do that. And he accepted Christ probably just a few months or maybe days before he died. That's why we do this. That's why we're Christians. That's why love comes and motivates us and begins to transforms us so that the mission is carried forth. Because every one of us is on a mission to deliver God's best to someone. We're on a mission, Carl, to deliver God's anointing somewhere. God's looking for a release in you. He's looking for your okay. Say, Lord, I'll send me. When Isaiah heard the situation, he said, Lord, send me, I'll go. Now today you get an opportunity to say, Lord, send me, I'll go. Send me, Lord. I'll hug the unlovable. I'll comb their hair, Lord. I'll fix them a bath, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll fix them a bath. Whatever it is, share love. Share love. You know, and sometimes don't limit yourself to thinking that sharing love is just something you do to the down and out. Because sometimes God is going to send you into a boardroom where all the people, the important people are, who are intimidating one another, who are trying to impress one another with all their stuff. And he'll send you in there and say, hey, this is what the love looks like. The Lord shows me what's happening with your son, and this is what the Lord looks like. Know that whatever your situation, no matter where you walk, no matter where you might be in life, that God can move in love through you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fear and lack, greed and pride are swallowed up in perfect love. Fear and lack, greed and pride are swallowed up in perfect love because there's no motivations. When you're in perfect love, the other motivations, the things that move us, aren't there anymore. Complete trust is made possible in perfect love. Complete trust is made possible in perfect love. Insecurity and doubt flee from perfect love. Grace and peace are the hallmarks of perfect love. There's a release of grace and peace in your life when you operate in this perfect love, in this agape love. And when you operate out of this place of understanding the surpassing love of God, the fullness of His agape in your life, when you understand that fullness in your life, now suddenly grace and peace can come alongside you, Tina. They come alongside you to be released everywhere that you go. The Word says, blessed are the peacemakers. That's not just someone who makes peace between two parties. That's someone who carries an atmosphere of peace. And so that when they step into a room, the room changes. When I worked for Shepherd's Guide, I would sit in a truck for a moment or two just before I would walk in, and I would put on Christ. Because, see, I knew that as I put on Christ, whatever was happening inside that church was going to change. Whatever was happening inside that building was going to change. You know, sometimes you hear some really remarkable things walking up to a church. But the atmosphere would change when you allow Christ to go with you and go before you. No matter what happens, no matter what situation you're in, know that you are an atmosphere changer. Know that you are releasing something into the atmosphere. The hallmark of grace and peace are coming with you because you're walking in an agape love. As you walk in that love, grace and peace come alongside. It's like power twins coming to deal with the situation. Celebrate fellowship with the Father, and you will find perfect love. Not just in worship in a public place. Worship is not about the where or the what. Worship is about the who. When you surrender yourself to just acknowledge Him, that's worship. When you surrender yourself to welcome Him, that's worship. When you surrender yourself to join Him, that's worship. Invite Him into your heart and acknowledge who He is and who He said He is. Look for the unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace. See, the Lord did this thing. Those things that you just heard, those all come just from spending time with Him, to spending time with him and writing as you sit in front of him and you just write down the things that he says. I'm not smart enough to think of all those things. I don't express things myself that way, but he does. He does. Allow him to release himself to you in the place of agape love. Know that the veil is taken away from your heart in the place of agape love. As you turn to face the Lord, say, Lord, I don't know what was going on over here, but Lord, I'm turned away from that and I'm facing you. And Lord, my heart is dead set on you. And my heart is dead set on you. Lord, I'm coming walking into this place called agape. I'm walking into this place of unselfish love. The enemy wants to take your past and terrorize you with it. The Lord wants to take your past and promote you with it. He's going to take those things that the enemy has used against you and sinned against you, and he's going to turn it for good. He's going to take those things that attracted you and kept you going around and around in the same old circle over and over and over, and he's going to show you how to break out of it and how to set others free from that same thing. He's going to make you a victor in that place. He's going to release his victory in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants to take those things of the past so they're no longer scary to you. You know, I've shared a bunch of my past with y'all over the years. I found that the place of transparency, though, not only helps you to understand our own human frailty, but it also helps me to overcome. And because, see, now, it doesn't matter what somebody has to say about who I was. It doesn't matter what they say about what was going on before, because now I know for a fact I'm not that same person anymore. And I can walk in this place of agape because I no longer have to be afraid. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Become unmanageable. There's a need for Christians who will just be not managed. All right? In a good way. It won't no longer be managed by the enemy where every time the enemy goes, huh, they go, oh! Who will become unmanageable because no longer when the enemy comes with oppression do they go, oh, okay, let me just go that way. No longer being managed by depression. Wouldn't that be awesome? No longer being managed by unworthiness or doubt or unbelief or fear or any of those other things. Become unmanageable to those things. No longer be managed by the past. No longer be managed by all the angers and the frustrations. No longer be managed by those situations. But know that your heart is safe in God. That your heart is safe in the agape love that he has. That your heart is safe. And that because your heart is safe, it's looking on always onto him. Become unmanageable in a holy way. In a holy way. In a way that attributes all the success and all the glory to the Father. In a way that releases all the burden and the pain to our Jesus. Become unmanageable. Allow that agape love to so saturate you that every pain and every shame, every issue has now found a place of rest within you. You don't have to wait. There's a lie that the enemy wants to prevail that you have to wait to find your healing. I'm here to tell you that it's not true. You don't have to wait to let go of the shame. You don't have to wait to let go of the pain. You don't have to wait to let go of the emotional unrest. You can have it today because you choose. You can have it today because he's our Lord and our Savior. You can have it today because it's in your destiny. Somehow we get this idea that, you know, I have to suffer through. You know what? Someday you're going to turn to the Lord with it. So why not make that today? Make it today. Because when you turn to the Lord with it today, you don't have to worry about it someday. And I don't have to carry that burden. Isaiah 53, verse 3. He was despised, forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and pains, acquainted with grief, one from whom men hid their face. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. There is nothing that you can do to earn any of that. He already paid the price. The chastening was upon him. He already stood there on your behalf and took those things. So what are we waiting for? Let's let him have every pain and every shame. Let's let him have all those things. Because see, as we do so, we're recognizing his sufficiency in our life. There's none of that that you have to do. All we have to do is accept the gift that he's given. We accept the present that we've got called agape love. We accept the grace that's been extended. And because we've accepted that grace, now all those things that used to cause us to bristle don't cause us to bristle anymore. All those handles that the enemy used to turn aren't there to be turned anymore. Because there's an agape love. Because we were able to let everything else go. The Lord showed it to me like this the other day. He showed me a man, you know, those wood carvers? And he showed me a man with a chainsaw just cutting off the wood. And you know what they do when they do that? They cut away everything that's not the image. They cut everything that's not the image that they're wanting to portray. We allow, when we surrender to the Lord, we surrender this agape, we are allowing him to cut away everything that's not the image of Christ in us. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Let him cut away the image. Hallelujah. So hallelujah.